Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
Keep this frequency clear.
Are you ready?
Smack my fetch.
Coming at ya! Welcome to another edition of AMP Radio, another MMA podcast. We're coming at you live and unedited from the mean street of San Bruno, California. Boy, how about that? San Bruno, California, that's odd to say, right? We're coming at you live and unedited. Mac, my picked up edition. The fight that is, of course, UFC Fight Night, Belfort versus Gastelum, also known as, what is it known as, Marco? It's also known as Alex Oliveira, Tim Means, the Dirty Bird Cowboy 2. This is, of course, coming this Sunday, March 11th. Let's meet the host, guys. The yin to my yang is not present today, so we are sans Prados. Prados, of course, is running. It's tough when you're running a business and running all these things. Yeah, it's tough. So family life, and as we always say, life gets in the way, right? Let's meet the host, guys. With me, as always, not Proteus, but with me, as always, the lovely lady. The lady that always has cats, dogs, and parrots running around the North Carolina household, the lovely Pam.
Hi, everyone. Hey, I'll try to have an Adam's apple tonight and pretend like I'm Matt. Indeed.
Huh? Indeed.
Indeed.
Prado. And let's meet the star of the show, guys. The man who does not like cats but loves dogs. The one and only Marco from Waco.
Marco from Waco. Or que pasa, vato, Sanjay? Cats are only good in in hot sauce. I don't know. I don't like cats.
Oh,
screw cats. Screw cats.
Oh, man. So you don't like? So are you trying to say you don't like pussies? Cats? No pussy cats? No.
You funny. Oh, right. You funny. Haha.
Oh,
my dog.
I don't know. I like cats. I just don't want one, but I definitely like cats. I'm a dog guy. There's no doubt about it, guys. We'll talk hot topics later, but I just read this from SureDog that Bellator hires ex-UFC staffer as senior director of communications and athlete strategy. So it's happening already, guys. Let's get into the card that is UFC Fight Night Belfort versus Gastelum, guys. And you know what? Pam and I were talking about this, Marco. This may be, and Gigi brought it up on MMA Junkie Radio. Shout out to Junkie Radio that the cards are finally starting to get put together well, right? After basically stacking all these fights at the end of the year, guys. But let's get into it. As always, we're short on time and a lot of topics, guys. So let's hit the. Let's see, is this the one we want? No, that's not the one we want. Boy, we're off. Exit. That's not the one. Boy, where's our music? What the heck? All right, here we go.
Technical difficulties.
There we go. Already. We go to the main card. We go, guys, on Fox Sports 1. Not even Big Fox, FS1. To the welterweight we go, guys. And this is actually a really, really good fight. I'm joking around calling it a cowboy versus a dirty bird too, but it effectively is, right? I mean, that was the first no contest, right? With illegal knees, of course. Alex Cowboy Oliveira, guys, 36 years young, 15-4, 1-2. That's right. He's got four digits there, guys. 5'11", the rematch, of course, for the Brazilian Cowboy. Cowboy is 3-1-1, guys, in his last five. With, of course, his last fight being a known contest, right? Keep in mind, guys, this guy not only lost to Cowboy via a triangle, but also defeated the one and only Ill Will Brooks via KO. So that was a damn good fight, guys. And Tim the Dirty Bird Means, 33 years young, 26, 7-1-1. Both of these guys get the four-digit number, 6-2. So he's a big welterweight. The TBD, get it? To be determined, nothing?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing?
Got it.
Uh-oh, watch out. Now we have the bird again. The Dirty Bird on cue.
You're talking about mine. I know.
Way to go, right? Right?
I'll do the sound effects back here, yep.
There we go. The Dirty Bird guy, 3-1-1, so equal with the Cowboy. Again, his last fight, the no contest with Cowboy Oliveira. Let's get into it. Proteus isn't here, so I'm going to throw it to the one and only Marco. What say you?
Oh, man. First of all, Parrots are talking dinosaurs, so they creep me out. and they're actually good with rice on the size. I did eat parrot in South America.
Ooh.
So take that for what it's worth. Parrot tastes good. But I like this fight. I think the Brazilian Cowboy is a little bit overrated. And that's just my personal opinion. On that Tim Means, for the first fight, Tim Means was actually winning before the illegal knee. I mean, you got to take that into consideration. I mean, Oliveira beat Will Brooks, but the only reason they TKO Will Brooks is because Will Brooks broke a rib in the middle of the fight. Will Brooks was winning the fight until his rib broke. So, yeah, like on my book, Cabo Oliveira is a little bit overrated. He's a really good action fighter. I'm going to give him that respect. But I think Tim Means is the better fighter overall. He's a pressure fighter that likes to go forward. Got a much better gas tank than Cabo Oliveira. And he's not afraid of getting into scrambles and getting dirty like the Dirty Bird, you know. He will take one to give you two. I'm going to pick Tim Means to win this fight, and I'm going to pick him to win by TKO on the second. He's going to overwhelm Alex Oliveira in the cage. Start, you know, raining blows. He's eventually going to fall off, and they're going to have to pull Tim Means off Cabo Oliveira, so I picked Tim Minks via TKO second round.
Wow. We go to the lovely Pam. Will it be the Dirty Bird or the second Cowboy?
Well, truthfully, if we're pressed for time and we're in Brazil with Brazilian judges, we might as well say I pick all the Brazilians. But I am, you know what, I think Marco is reading my notes because I'm going with Tim Means in a second. Do you like that? And the reason is I like Alex Oliveira. You know, he's a striker. Tim Means is a striker. He's coming off two wins. He's got one loss to Cerrone and then three straight wins after that. Aside from that, no contest in December. He's a striker, great power, great movement. He likes his Muay Thai, but Tim Means has 18 wins by KO, four of those wins, and four by submission. He loves that flying knee, and I'm hoping to see a flying knee with the second round TKO, the Dirty Bird.
Wow, and we have the Dirty Bird in the background. Oh, my gosh.
I know,
still
right?
Have the Dirty Bird in the background. Here's the thing. If Marco, was Tim Means the one that came on Junkie and he was incarcerated for, like, quite a long time? Is that the guy?
I'm not sure, brother. I'm not going to lie to you.
I don't think so.
Yes. I don't think he has got that kind of pass. No.
I thought he was. Let's see. He began a 4-year prison sentence early in his MMA career, and then he turned
really?
His life around. So that is, wow, yeah, 4 years. He was with the UFC, was cut. Yeah, and then went to Legacy and, of course, back to the UFC. I like the Dirty Bird, guys. The Dirty Bird is, I agree with both of you guys. The Dirty Bird has, believe it or not, he doesn't have the length, believe it or not. Alex actually, Oliveira has an inch more. That's mm-hmm. what she said. Hold on. Wait. We ruined that one. Right? So Oliveira actually has a reach advantage by an inch. I just think that Oliveira, Marco's right. A little inconsistent. I just think the Dirty Bird, he was winning the fight, trepidation, of course, is that once someone spends a lot of time in the ring, they get to know each other. I think Oliveira has the fighter, the better fighter IQ, but I just think Tim Means striking is better. So I'm going with you guys, Tim Means, but uh-huh. I'm taking the third, Tim okay. Means. All right, guys, let's move on.
You know what
on.
You forgot to throw in there when you were giving us all that info? Your alternative facts.
No. Alternative facts. Well,
there
yeah.
you go.
Hold on. You know what? I'm going to throw that in there just because Marco loves the Trump administration. Here, let me throw that in there.
Alternative facts.
Okay.
Thank you.
There you go.
All right. Let's get back in. You know, and Marco, you're Air Force or what were you?
Army. Oh, my gosh.
Oops.
You know,
come on, Pat, let him know. Fight a trooper.
Yeah, we call Air Force the Tear Force.
Darn. Well, I love them all because they're all fighting for our rights. Let's get into it, guys.
The party?
Yeah, we move up to the card and to my favorite, but there'll be no Careless Whisper tonight, guys. To the women's Batman weight we go. Betch Kohea. That's right. And remember, I said Betch, and it is Kohea. Don't call her Correa. Don't go. It's Kohea. Let's get that straight, right? Betch Kohea, guys, going up against one of my, actually someone that I meant that we actually keep missing each other at events. The one and only, of course, Bay Area zone, not really, but Central Valley zone, Marion Renault. Betch Kohea, guys, I think we all look past her all the time, mm-hmm. guys, because the pit bull Betch Kohea, guys, 33 years young, 10-2, 5'4", she's listed at, and we all know that she's not 5'4", guys. Maybe 5'4 with heels. Right, Rhonda?
Betch.
Thank you. All right. So Betch Kohea, guys, we keep forgetting, guys, that Betch is 10-2, guys. Her only two losses to Rousey, of course, via KO. And she's only been finished once by Rousey, which is remarkable, really. I'm not sure that she really lost to Raquel Pennington because that was a pretty darn close fight. I'm not sure she beat Jessica Eye, but Jessica Eye really wasn't fighting well. But she's been solid, guys, and very durable for being a small girl. And what's funny, of course, Betch, of course, is now with AKA San Jose's own AKA, right, Kane?
Betch.
Thank you. All right. And Betch, of course, is fighting the Brazilian bruiser, Marion Renault, 39 years young, guys. And she's 5-1, guys, 5-6. And I think she's a school teacher, isn't she? In the San Joaquin mm-hmm. Valley. I thought she was. Yeah. My girl, Marion, NoCal, of course. Not the 209, but the 559. So we're pretty close there. Close enough, right? The taller of the two fighters, guys, Renault is 3-2 in her last five, losing barely to Ashley Evans-Smith via split decision and to Holly Holm. And I'm not sure Holly won that fight either. I'm not going to lie to you guys. And you know me, I love Holly. We go to the one and only Pam. What say you?
Yes. Okay. This fight, I think this is an interesting fight. And, you know, I don't want to take Marco's words, but I think Betch is kind of a little bit overrated. Her style of fighting is very haphazard, and she comes out, she comes out very aggressive, but very reckless, and is very prone to get caught. Marion, on the other hand, she's 39, she's 5'6", and she actually has a 4-inch reach. She is a ground fighter who favors the guillotine. She's a brown belt in jiu-jitsu, and she actually is a blue belt in Muay Thai. I think actually she is the more well-rounded fighter, and she can strike or go to the ground if it needs be. Betch can be overly aggressive, and I think she is very predictable in her fighting. And I am actually predicting Marion with the second round TKO.
Wow. The one and only Marco. What say you?
Well, I'm going to agree a lot with Pan tonight, I guess. Bitch Korea come to famous when she was beating Ronda Rousey's friends, and all of her friends got losing records on the UFC. So not really that impressive. You know, then he got to lock horns with Ronda, and Ronda face planter in the middle of the ring. So that's for what it's worth. I mean, Bitch Korea, for me, is a one-hit wonder. I don't think she is a better fighter than Marion Renault. Marion Renault is actually very technical on the ground, a much more disciplined fighter, and I think she got the better gas tank. If this goes to the ground, I think Marion Renault is going to be able to submit Bitch. And a little bit afraid that because Bitch Korea is likes to throw a lot of volume, if it goes to a decision, Bitch might take it. But I'm going to ride with my hunger, Marion Renault, because I do believe she's the better fighter, the more disciplined fighter, the physical education teacher, you know, always calling at her students. she's going to take this girl down on the second round and submit her, probably a rear naked choke. So Marion Renault, second round submission.
You know what, guys? I don't think we're going to be – I don't think we're going to be off. I think all our picks are going to be very similar. And the way we've been going, that hasn't been good.
Fetch.
Thank you. All right. Right, Brian? But I agree with you guys.
We won the Verdun fight. Yeah, we won the Verdun pick, though, so hey. Overeem. Yeah, we did the Overeem pick correctly.
Well, and I got Woodley. I got T-Wood, but Marion Renault, guys, is just a longer fighter. I think she's a really talented fighter, too. I think she started too late in her career to really, maximize her strength. But she's a good fighter. She's gritty. She doesn't get finished either. And Betch obviously doesn't have the reach, doesn't have the jiu-jitsu, and frankly, she doesn't hit hard either. So as much as every single time I always pick against Betch, she wins. But you know what, guys? I think this time, my buddy, Marion Renault, is going to beat her. And I think, actually, believe it or not, I think she's good. She's just going to win via decision. So I'm picking Marion Renault via decision. Sorry about that.
Fetch.
Thank you. All right, guys. Let's move over to the flyweight we go. Interestingly enough, we had the champ on, right? The champ was on MMA Junkie Radio chatting about Twitch and video games and all this. I don't know. I don't play video games. Except for Sega Genesis. So we'll go.
I have not even done that. You know what? The last one I did was, don't laugh at me, was Galaga.
What?
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Galaga. Oh, my God.
Shut up. Yes, Galaga. I can't do all that other stuff. I get impatient, and then I want to break stuff, so I stay away.
Was that in an arcade? Good Lord.
Shut up.
Galaga.
Yes. Yes. And, I mean, sometimes you can find it, you know, laying around someplace, but no, yeah, that's the only thing I can do, and then whatever. Shut up.
God, someone get me my Atari 2600.
Oh, hush
right?
up.
Good Lord. All right, guys, we go to the flyweight. We go Juicy A Formiga versus, of course, Ray Borg, the Tasmexican devil. How do you like that, Pam? The Tasmexican. What the hell did I just say, Marco? Tasmexican? Tasmexican devil.
Tasmexican.
Yeah.
Don't hurt yourself. Don't hurt yourself. We got it.
Yeah, there you go. You know what, guys? Compared to these two, I look like Shaq. Compare these two, 5'4", guys, and 125 pounds. Good Lord. But, you know, Ray Borg, guys, is a good fighter. He's mm-hmm. actually 4-1 in his last five, only losing to Justin Scoggins via decision, who's not a bad fighter. And he did beat Luis Mocha, who I think is a very, very talented fighter. He's going up against Formiga. And Formiga, of course, boy, you're not joking, Pam, when you said it's going to be mm-hmm. the battle of Brazil versus the U.S. Good Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Formiga, of course, also 4-1 in his last five. I don't think he's really fought anyone really great except for Wilson Hayes, right? But aside from that, guys, I think the competition hasn't been as good. We go to the one and only Marco. What say you? Or is Marco or Pam's turn? It's Marco.
It's
right?
me.
Marco.
It's me. I
what
am really looking forward. I'm really looking forward to this fight, man. This fight is going to be action-packed. It's going to be like a kind of a don't blink kind of fight, because so much is going to be going on in such short periods of time. In 1 second, these guys are going to put like four different moves. But I've been struggling with this fight because Ray Borg is a really, really good fighter. He's very well-rounded. He got good at striking. He got good wrestling. Formiga is an ace on the ground. He's run between the world for a reason. At one point, Formiga, back on the in the Tachi Palace days, was the freaking flyweight champion. So I'm really struggling on this fight. But for the sake of the division, and just because, you know, Demetrius Johnson need more contenders, I'm going to say Formiga is going to take this. I'm going to give him the home field advantage. It's going to be a very close fight. And because it's going to be a very close fight, and because it is in Brazil, the judge's decision is going to be swayed by all the oohs and ahs of the Brazilian crowd. It's going to be a split decision, 29-28 for Formiga. And then we got another contender for Demetrius after he finished Wilson Hayes. And by the way, Demetrius Johnson on Twitch is making bank. So don't be hating on the guy playing video games and making money.
All right, so the pick goes to Formiga. We go to lovely Pam. Will it be Hey Borg or Juicy Ear Formiga?
Okay, you know, every time you guys say Formiga, I'm thinking of hormigas, and I'm thinking of ants. So,
ants?
You know what?
That is what it means
hormigas,
in Portuguese.
Yeah, hormigas are ants in Spanish. So, but
yeah,
I am saying Viva Nuevo México. Which I am picking Ray Borg for this fight. And I'll tell you why. Formiga, he jiu-jitsu. He's a black belt in jiu-jitsu. He's a black belt in judo. He has losses to Cejudo and Benavides. Five of his last eight wins have been by submission. I don't think this is going to be a striking match. I think it's going to be a ground game. A lot of grappling. Ray Borg is 10-2-0. He has that one win over Smoka. The only thing that's is I think a disadvantage to him is that Formiga does have a 3-inch reach advantage, though. Those inches count.
That's what she said.
That's right. Ray Borg has 6 wins by submission, 1 by KO. He likes his spinning moves, heel kicks, and his losses have been by decision. So cardio is not a problem, but I am going with Ray Borg in a second round submission.
Wow.
Alternative facts.
I'm going on. Yep.
You know what, guys? I had Borg going because he is a lot younger, right? I mean, he's 8 or 9 years younger than Formiga, so I did have the mighty ant, the Mexican devil, Hey Borg. I had him beating UCA Formiga, but you know what, guys? Marco's right. The ground game is going to go to Formiga, so there's no doubt about it. I think his ground game is better. I even though I don't think that he's fought elite-level competition in terms of Ray Borg, actually, I do think that Formiga has fought elite level competition, right? The Dodsons, the Wilson Hayes, the Henry Cejudo. So I'm gonna go with I don't think this is gonna end via submission. I do think it's gonna go all three, but I agree with you. Whether he wins on paper or not, I think Formiga is gonna win it, guys, via decision. So I agree with Marco on this one. I'm going with Formiga via decision over Ray.
Hey.
Yes, sir.
Ray Borg, why isn't his nickname Resistance is Futile?
Ooh.
Alternative facts.
That's right, Darth. Good Lord. Why is his last name Borg and he's a Taz Mexican devil?
Damien.
Maybe it's Borg. I don't know. Why is Tony Ferguson Tony Ferguson?
Ooh, good point. Good Lord.
Mm-hmm.
All right. All right, guys, let's move up to, let's move up. Let's keep going again, guys. We go, this one's the best fight of the night for me, guys. I'm not going to lie. To the lightweight we go, guys. And I don't know if I have a bias here, Marco. You're going to correct me if I'm wrong here on the bias, but it is Edson, Captain Barbosa. That's what I call him, the captain, because he is, of course, Barbosa, right? I mean, Junior, of course, going up against my favorite fighter in the whole wide world, and this is where I might be wrong, guys. But Beneil Dariush, who's been on a show, and man, he's my favorite fighter, guys. There's no doubt about it. Benny, of course, he's a little shorter than I am. Benny, of course, he's a darn good fighter and very, very complete. I know that Gigi and I think it was Goz were saying that the speed isn't there as it is with Barbosa. And they may be right, guys, but let's get this straight. Benny has only lost to one guy in his last five, and actually he was on like a five-fight win streak before he lost to Michael Iglesias. You like that? Marco, I got nothing? I just said Michael Iglesias. I got nothing?
I know, Kiesa. I know what you did there.
No, but you were supposed to say Church. Michael Church.
I know. Now, forget it. I'm going back to Michael Church. He lost, of course, to Michael Church in a submission, and that was really odd because I don't think that Benny looked like himself. I don't know. I thought that was a pretty odd fight, but he's going up against a fighter that may be, Pam and Marco, one of the most talented fighters in that division. Not kidding. Edson Barbosa, 31 years young, and the one thing about the captain, say what you will, man, his kicks hurt me just watching it. 18-4, guys. This guy is a talented fighter. I don't know if he has the highest IQ in terms of fight IQ, but he's a talented fighter, guys. In his last five, has lost to Michael Johnson via decision. That was a pretty darn good fight. He beat Felder, lost to El Cucuy, the boogeyman, Tony Ferguson, beat Pettis, and beat Gilbert Melendez. Yeah, they're on the downside of their careers. It's amazing what has happened to Pettis. But this guy's a talented fighter, guys. So we go to the one and only, back to Pam we go, because Prados is missing. What say you?
You know what? Straight up, Barbosa, period. No ifs, ands, or buts. He's actually, Barbosa is actually one of my favorite fighters, and I actually saw him in Vegas. I saw him fight in Vegas, and you could hear those kicks through the whole arena. It was amazing, but he is full of explosion and aggression. excuse me. He has 6 fight of the nights and 1 KO of the night. The only thing is 4 of his last wins have come by decision. So he's, as you would say, a decisionator, which is kind of nice because when he fights, you want to see, you want to keep watching him. So I don't mind if his fights go all 3 rounds. Benny is a smart, he's a well-rounded fighter. He has speed. He's a counter-striker, black belt in jiu-jitsu, black belt in Muay Thai, and has won 7 of his last 8. But this is not going to be a ground game at all. But in actuality, I do see this going third round decision. Barbosa for me.
Wow. The decision, Marco, we go to you. Do you see it going all the way?
No. And, for as much as we dive in, Neil Dariush, you know, he's been on the show, super cool guy, very talented fighter, all the accolades of the world, but I see an Edson Barbosa is a superior fighter. I mean, Edson Barbosa technically retired Terry Arim, and, you know, Terry Arim going to his own struggles, you know, so some prayers for Terry Arim. Hopefully he pulls through to whatever is going on with jumping into the boss and being in a coma. Yeah. But what Edson Barbosa did to Anthony Pettis, man, was close to a spectacular. You know, he outkicked the kicker. The guy, if you want to stand with Edson Barbosa, you're asking for trouble. Edson Barbosa, the problem is he's probably never going to be a world champion, but he's always going to be in the top 5. Or it's going to be on the top 5 for a long time until, you know, further time comes calling. I'm picking Edson Barbosa, and I'm picking to win big. I think he's going to wore those legs because he got those leg kicks from hell, and make Darius start trying to either check or cover those leg kicks, and eventually one of those high kicks is going to come high on the second round and knock out Darius out cold. So I'm picking Edson Barboza by knockout on the second round.
Darn. You know what? Hold on. Prados is sending me pictures here.
Are they nudes?
Hopefully he's not sending you a dick pic.
Oh, excuse me? No. It's not a, where's the lightsaber? It's not a dick pic. That's for, oops, did I just say the D word?
Oh, well, it was just,
oh my God.
Yeah, it was so funny because we were talking about inches. We were talking about inches and then he sends a picture. That's a coincidence, no?
No, I'm looking at pictures of Anastasia Yankova. That's right. Good Lord, Prado. Good Lord. All right, guys.
What is your pick?
Yeah, here's the thing, though. I agree with you. And listen, I'm really going to take my Homer hat off of this one. Because, if there was a president in the Benil Dariush fan club, I would be in. I would be the president. There's no doubt about it, right? If there was a Benny Dariush fan club. But let's be honest, guys. Let's look at Edson Barboza. He did beat Gilbert Melendez, who's not the same Gibbler. Did you like that, Gibbler?
Gibbler.
Nothing.
Gibbler.
He's not the same Gibbler that he was in Strikeforce. He's not, guys. Mm-hmm. And Anthony Pettis, I don't know if it's a mental thing. I really don't know what's going on with it because I thought that kid would be a star for years to come. He lost to El Cucuy, no doubt about it, and lost pretty darn well to Ferguson. Beat Felder, which is no joke, but he lost to Johnson, lost to Cerrone. Think about it. Lost, of course, to Jamie Varner. Think about it. When Barboza goes into elite-level talent, he's not the same fighter. Now, I'm not saying Benny is elite-level at this point, but let's be honest. Benny has lost twice, guys. He lost to a very good ground game in Michael Chiesa, no doubt about it, and a big man. Michael Church is a big man. And, of course, he lost to Ramsey, but that was a long time ago, early in his career, guys. I think Benny is a smarter fighter. I think Benny is going to somehow last all three rounds. If it goes via decision, you're right. It's kind of hard, but I just don't see Barboza finishing. You know what? How about this? Second round submission, Benny. Dariush, I'm not joking, guys, because I don't think Barboza is very good on the ground, guys. That's what she said, right? And and I think he might be distracted by Anastasia Yankova's photos. That's right, guys.
Well, you mentioned
no
Varner, but
about
gosh, he lost to Varner 5 years ago.
Yeah, that's
3 years ago.
Yeah, that was a fluke. That was a fluke. He
yeah,
did beat
I agree.
Two former world champions, so that's take it for his word.
Yeah, former, though, right? They're on the downside of his career. Guys, we go to the light heavyweight, we go, and interestingly enough, we had the champ on Junkie Radio, right? DC was on, one of my favorite guys. Follow him at DC_MMA. And so we go to the one and only Mauricio Cua. You know what? I need that drop. Where's that drop? Hang on. We got to do this right. All right. We go to Mauricio Shogun.
Hula.
That's right. That's right. Mauricio Shogun Hua. Boy, what happened to him? His career has kind of gone downhill. 35 years young, guys. He's going up against the one and only Jean Villante. You know what? I like this kid from New York, right?
Cue the music for that one, yeah.
So we play that. Hold on. Let's give her the music. Not for me. Let's get this straight. The music is not for me. The music is for Pam. Let's get that straight before Prado starts sending me a photo of Jean Villante. But Jean Villante, guys, for Pam, not for me.
No.
Let's get this straight. Right? This is not for me.
That's not my music.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah, but John Villante, guys. Oh, yeah, you want Pony. 31 years
That's
young,
right.
Guys. 6'2", 205, 15-7 in I think he's a little better than 15-7, guys. In his last five, he's 3-2, beating Anderson, losing to Lawler, beating Kuros, losing to Queen Latifah, and beating Safarov. You know what, guys? Going up against Shogun Uwa, and Shogun, of course, 24-10. He's not the same Shogun that he was before, but in his last five, guys, he's got the same record. He's 3-2, guys. And mind you, who did he beat? Big Nog or Little Nog? I can't recall. Beat Corey Anderson. So kind of the same story. Mm-hmm. We go to the one and only Pam. Is it Pam or is it Marco's turn?
No, I think it's Marco.
No, it's Pam. Marco gets Vitor. Yeah, we go to the lovely Pam. Well, it would be Shogun Hua or, of course, the one and only John Biante.
Okay, as much as I want Jean to win, I think this is going to go to Mauricio. And reason being, keep in mind, again, we are in Brazil. Mauricio has 19 wins by TKO or KO. He's fighting out of King's Gym now, which I didn't know that. But he's aggressive, very aggressive fighter, excellent background, Muay Thai and Jiu-Jitsu. He is coming off those two wins against Corey Anderson and Antonio Nogueira. I don't know if that's Big Nog. I think that's Little Nog. But I just think that Gian, I think, is an excellent fighter. Lots of power, explosiveness. His last four losses have been by decision. But I think that Mauricio is just going to be too much for him, a little bit too much experience for him. And like I said, again, we're in Brazil, and I am actually taking this as the third round decision for Shogun.
Wow. All right. We go to the one and only Marco. Will it be John Biante or will it be Shogun Hua?
Mauricio Shogun Hua. Dude, everybody forget that on the Corey Anderson fight, Shogun was able to draw Corey Anderson several times during the fight. A lot of people say that Shogun is done. Shogun is not done. He's not an elite fighter like he was before, but he's still really good, and he still pack a punch. Belante, on the other hand, he's not as good a striker as Rua is. Rua, if he wants to keep it on the feet, Rua is going to eat him for lunch. And that is why I cannot go with Belante. Plus, Belante has had a bad habit of gassing, and Rua, on the other hand, has never had that problem. You know, for as much as we want to criticize, oh, he might be on the downside of his career, this and that, the guy got hard for days. I mean, the two Dan Henderson fights can attest to that. And if you don't take Rua out, like, completely out cold, he's always going to be on the fight, and he's always a danger on the feet. That's what I'm picking Shogun Rua, and actually picking Shogun Rua to win by TKO on the third round.
Wow.
Nice.
You know what? I don't think I've picked a Brazilian yet, which is really weird, but I will be picking Shogun. And the reason why is I just think, you know, Pam brought this up, guys, and she's right. And actually, Marco backed it up as well. When you're fighting in Brazil, you're already fighting an uphill battle, right? No pun intended, right? And I just don't think I don't think Shogun is the same fighter that he was before. There's no doubt about it. He's not. So Shogun is not the same fighter, guys. But I think he's gonna last the three rounds. And even if John Biante should have won that decision in three rounds, I think he's gonna lose it because it's gonna be those Brazilian judges. Hey, I love you, Brazil. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt about it. But obrigado. But I just don't think that Shogun has anymore. But I'm picking Shogun via decision, guys. It's funny. Sure. We think the light heavyweights are going to literally gas out and go all three. Yeah, I think they're going to go all three.
Guys,
let's get into it because this is one of these cards that I think is pretty darn good. And I'm wondering what Vitor has left. So let's get into it, guys. Let's go to the main event. We go, guys. Middleweight. Vitor, the Phenom Belfort, And Vitor, man, I'll tell you, this is a guy. You say what you say about non-honest supplements, Vitor. Vitor at one time was a killer. Everyone forgets that. 39 years young, whether it's toe-sucking or not, Vitor was a killer, guys. But in his last five, there's no doubt about it. Beating Henderson twice, losing to Weidman, losing to Jacare, losing to Musasi. He's not the same fighter, guys, but he's going up against a very small man for that weight class in Kelvin Gastelum, and I don't mean weight. Gastelum, 25 years young, 5'9". He's a shorty. 13-2, guys, and I think this guy has more talent than he showed. Losing, of course, to Tyron Woodley via decision, split decision at that. No shame in that game. Beating Nate the Great Narqua, losing to Neil Magny, and that was a little odd. But Neil Magny doesn't give up, you know, via split decision. Beating Hendrick, beating Tim Kennedy, the legend that is Tim Kennedy. We go to the one and only Marco. Will it be the Phenom or will it be Kelvin?
It's not going to be the old dinosaur, the John Lai, whatever he called, is Vitor calling himself these days. Kevin Gastelum is going to merge Vitor. Vitor is good for that 2 or 3 minutes blitz of the first round, and he doesn't get you with that. The guys fold the tent and leaves the camp. After what I saw Kevin Gastelum do to Tim Kennedy, I know Kevin Gastelum got gas for days. So he's going to punish Vitor, and it is going to be ugly. I mean, we saw what Weidman did to Vitor. We saw what Musasi did to Vitor. We saw what Jacare did to Vitor. And we can see him Vitor full 10 real quick after seeing some go his way. Gastelum has a chin, has the Gaston, has the movement, has the hand speed that is probably superior to Vitor at this point on the fighting career, and got the wrestling. I don't see any way for Vitor Belfort to win this unless he gets super lucky and clips Kelvin Gastelum in that 2-3 minutes blitz he got, and that is the only way Vitor is going to win. I'm picking Kevin Gastelum to win this. I'm picking Kevin Gastelum to win this on the first round by KO, because Vitor should retire. Vitor is not TRT Vitor anymore. You know, he doesn't get all those muscles. Mexican or Brazilian supplemented muscles anymore. He's not the same animal. And Kevin Gastelum, not having to cut all that way, is a different kind of animal at 185. Vitor is going to get hurt. He's going to get hurt bad, and he's going to get embarrassed. Kelvin Gastelum, first round KO.
Wow. First round KO given by Marco taking Gastelum. We go to the lovely Pam. Will it be the Phenom or Kelvin Gastelum Gonzalez? I don't know what his last name is.
Okay.
Who will it be?
Kelvin, yes, he's a good fighter, but he is not Jacare Souza. He is not Gegard Mousasi, and he is not Chris Weidman. He did win a fight against Tom Kennedy, who was coming off with a 2-year layoff, and I don't know if Gastelum was that good or if Tom Kennedy was that bad. So.
How
keeping
dare
that
you,
in mind.
Pam? He's a legend.
No.
You're calling him Tom Kennedy.
Tim Kennedy. You know what I'm saying. But anyway, so you know what? You know when you go to a farm and you see a rooster that's all this plumado and you know, but he's still, you know, walking that walk. He's just still that tough rooster missing all them feathers. That's who I think Vitor Belfort is. I think this is like one of those where this is like the old man that's going to school the young man, you know, I'm older than you and I'll beat your ass. And I think that's what Vitor is going to do, because he has boxing, he's got jiu-jitsu, he's got explosive striking. You know, granted, he is coming off 2 losses. His last win was against Hendo. He does have 18 wins by KO. 14 of those wins were by the first or second round. Yeah, he does have that post-ped body, but I think he's more experienced and he has better fight credentials. Keep in mind that this is Gastelum's only second fight in this weight. So I don't see it going the full distance, because I don't think either of them have the cardio for this.
And I'm going out on a limb. I'm picking my old Desplumado Rooster by second round TKO.
Yeah. Let's not forget. Kelvin Gastelum also fought Nate Marquardt at middleweight, and he beat the crap out of Nate Marquardt too. It's not the first runaround or second runaround for Gastelum at 185. He has fought two proven fighters at 185 and made them look really bad. I'm just throwing that out there.
Okay, throw all you want,
you know what,
but I'm just saying at his legitimate weight, this is his second fight at his, I guess, real weight. Now, like I said, granted, he does have the great boxing in the footwork, and he does seem more comfortable at this weight. But I still think, you know, again, we're in Brazil. I'm taking Vitor just because I think it's going to be the let me take you out and school you, little boy, and show you what a man can do kind of thing. And I think, you know, that's just what I think.
Here's the thing, guys. If you see the photos and you just go strictly off the photos, right, there's no doubt about it. Vitor's a bigger man. There's no doubt about it. If you just go off of that. But I got to agree with Marco on this one.
Okay.
That's right. I said it. And I'll tell you why. And I'm surprised none of you guys brought this up. Kelvin Gastelum, believe it or not, for being a small man, he's got a good chin. Because if you look at who he's fought, right, Uriah Hall, obviously more of a karate-style fighter. But Rick Story, who has heavy hands, guys. Jake Ellenberger. Tyron Woodley, who has heavy hands. We saw what he did to Wonder Boy. There's no doubt about it. Well, we can touch on that a little later. But Nate Marquardt, who at one time had heavy hands. Johnny Hendricks, I don't know where his hands are. But Tim Kennedy, he outclassed him.
They're
Kennedy. I think Tim Kennedy is a legend. There's no doubt about it, guys. But I think Vitor... I think this is it. I agree with Marco. Vitor, unless he gets busted for, you know, non-onit supplements, I just don't see a path of victory. I don't. I think Vitor can give two or three minutes of a good flurry, maybe 2 minutes, maybe an minute and a half or 2 minutes worth of a flurry. I think Kelvin has a good chin, guys. I don't see him going down. Excuse me. I'm going to take Kelvin, but I'm going to take Kelvin – via submission, believe it or not, guys, somewhere in the second or third round. I'll just say second round sub, because I think Vitor is going to tire out, and Kelvin has actually a good ground game, guys. So I'm taking Kelvin via submission, believe it or not, rear naked choke. I'll throw that out there in the second round. All right, guys, boy, we did it. How about that, right, Claudia? I thought Claudia was going to fight. Let's go into Hot Topics, guys, and we're going to play some music for Hot Topics. Do you guys want to go into UFC 209 and put the bow on that?
Nah.
Let's just not even talk about that.
Okay, I'm going to give you my quick debrief.
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Hello, Rick.
My quick debrief is freaking Darrell Elkins had the combat of the ever. Alistair Overeem hit the wrong horse meat, got food poisoning, and decapitated Mark Hunt. Daniel Kelly is put out with a scotch tape, and he fights like a boss, and then the main event happened. Exactly. That's it. Fuck the main event.
Darn, that's a good darn. I like that. That was good. Hello.
And the
damage right?
had some really bad game. Ink. Throw that in there, too.
Yeah, how about that? Good Lord.
Will allow me to retort.
All right, guys, let's go into the spotlight fight of the night. Let's do that. So pick a fight that's not on the main card that you think is going to be exciting. You guys want me to go first or you guys want me to go last? Your call.
You go last.
Yeah.
All right.
The host.
We go to the beautiful Pam. Pam, let's say you spotlight fight of the night.
Michaela and Borrachina. I want to see that one.
Huh?
You said a spotlight fight, right? That's the early prelim. McClellan and Borrachina. That's the fight I want to see.
She's right.
Gotcha. All right.
God.
All right.
Wake up.
You're way, the prelim bypass fight. How about that?
Yeah.
We go to the one and only Marco. Are you going with Honey Jason?
No. I'm going with Kevin Lee versus Francisco Trinaldo because that's going to be fireworks. I really like Kevin Lee, friends of MMA Junkie. You know, he hosted a lot of times. I'm rooting for Kevin Lee to win. It's going to be a tough fight against Francisco Trinaldo, but let's root for Kevin Lee and see what happens.
I agree with you there that that's the spotlight fight. There's no doubt about it, but I'm going to go a little better just because I like saying this name. To the bantamweight we go, guys. Honey Yahya. That's right. I said it. It's not Ronnie. It's Honey Yahya versus Joe Soto. I don't know why, but I that's the fight I'm picking, guys, just because I want to say Honey Yahya.
I like that fight.
All right, guys. All right. Hold on. Cricket. All right, guys. Let's go into we got about 10 minutes left, so let's go into hot topics. Anything that you guys find that's interesting that's in the hot topics that you guys want to go over? What say
I
you,
have something interesting. Oh,
I do.
Go ahead,
go ahead, Pam. You go ahead. Ladies first.
Okay. No, I've been keeping up with the whole Tony Ferguson thing, and the stories had been that he was going to get his show money. And then stories were that he hadn't gotten his show money. And now that I'm reading that he only got half of his show money. So does anybody know what the real story is on that? Did he or did he not get his money?
Somebody's getting sued because contractually the commission is the one that assigned the payments. And in his contract, his show money was a certain amount of money. That's what they owe him. So somebody's getting sued or somebody's not telling the truth.
Yeah, because that's what he had. There was actually a story that I was trying to read at work, but that he had only received, like I said before, it was none of it, and then it was just half of it. So I was just wondering, God, what's going on there?
It's not up to the promoter because he didn't make the scale, so he's official for the fight. And like that, because Khabib didn't make the fight, basically he forfeits. Contractually speaking, they are obligated to pay his show money. If they're not paying his show money, somebody's going to court.
Oh, okay.
So, guys, so you're saying that you don't believe Dana
Alternative
White?
Alternative facts.
You don't believe that he was going to take care of him? No.
No, it's not about taking care of it. It's what it was said on the contract and what the rules of the commission are. This is completely out of the hands of Dana White. That is, it's not up to Dana White or the USC. If they are not paying, that's why Tony didn't took the fight with Michael Johnson, because then you had to sign a new contract, and that is what they offered him less money. He was better off not taking the fight because then he gets his full show money, regardless of whether he ever sticks to the octagon or not, because he made the scale. And if they are not paying him his full money, somebody's going to court, and they're going to win.
Now, can I ask you, let me throw something in real quick, since Marco's like the brain, the big brain on Marco. I was reading also
we just threw that for my boy.
One at a time.
Okay. So, the other thing the article I was reading about was when Khabib had gone to the hospital, and Dana was saying that he went rogue because they should have gone to, I guess, his hospital and would have possibly been able to save the fight. And I thought that was kind of sketchy.
Okay, there's a little bit more complicated because in that one, Dana was kind of right. Because the doctor of the USC doctor is there specifically to take care of the fighters. Now, Khabib went to the regular hospital. They don't give a damn who Khabib is in the hospital. So they put him in the back of the line. Every single fighter on the UFC will tell you that the UFC doctor is one of the best carries in the planet. And he's going to stay there with you and make sure whether you may wait or not, he's going to take care of the fighter. And if he cannot make the fight, he will pull you off the fight. You know? So when it comes to the fighters themselves to be taken care of first and get quality kind of a care, Dana White is right. Now, if they could have said they fired or not, that is not for me to say yes or no. They probably, regardless of whether he went to the doctor for the USC or not, he probably wouldn't make the fight anyway. But on this case, Dana White is right. Every single fighter out there that can talk about this subject has said that, you are better off going to the USC doctor because you will get first-class care. I mean, they will pull whatever means necessary for you to get better, whether you make the fight or not. So on this one, I had to defend Dana.
Go
ahead, Pam.
I said again, that goes back to what we've been talking about, the weight cutting. Why, and I had asked Elias, why do some fighters not have an issue? And then there's some of them that it's so problematic that you have to go to the hospital. I mean,
because
a good weight cut.
Because some fighters are not professional enough. If Khabib Nurmagomedov was offering Tony Ferguson $200 to take the fight, maybe he should take those $200,000 and hire the best nutrition and dietitian so he wouldn't get these issues of coming 25 pounds overweight and then eating freaking crab soup during the middle of the week. There is this video footage of Khabib Nurmagomedov eating turf soup or something like that, some bullshit crab food that is like not really good for you on fight week. No, Khabib is wrong.
Yeah,
I
heard that he was eating like hamburgers and stuff like that.
Yes.
Donuts
this is completely Khabib Nurmagomedov's responsibility. His lack of professionalism, because 95% of fighters make weight every single time there is a car, and then we got the outliers, and we get all bent out of shape because the outliers miss weight. But why don't we? What about the rest of the 95% that actually do their job, make weight no problem, and make it to the fight? I mean, I'm sorry, man. If 95% of the people are doing it right, that 5% of the people that are doing it wrong, they better get their shit straight.
Okay, and then one more question, and then I'll let you talk. Back to the whole weight cutting thing. And why don't the fighters stay within 15 or 20 pounds of the amount of weight that they need to cut instead of, okay, man, I got to cut 30 or 40 pounds. But then why don't you stay closer to your weight? Do you know what I mean? So you don't have to cut that much.
Until they put that on regulation, USA Wrestling had that on the NCAA. They only allow you to be a certain percentage of your walking off weight to make way for the tournaments, because for ages wrestling did it wrong, but now they're getting science into it. Fighters are always going to try to get the biggest advantage they can. I mean, famously, Anthony Johnson was a welterweight, and he used to drop all the way from 220 pounds all the way to 170. That cannot
crazy.
Be healthy. Yeah, and now guy is one of the best.
I don't think it's healthy. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, he's one of the best light heavyweights now because he finally saw the light and realized that he didn't need to go to that massive amount of weight to get the advantage because he was good enough at 205. But until they realize that, you cannot make a fighter change their mind because they're gonna try to get any single little advantage they think they can get. So that's what I have to say about that.
Thank you, dummies.
That's just interesting to me. Thank you.
My hot topic is I am a little bit disappointed to Ben Rodwell, man, test positive for something.
Ouch.
Yes.
I know
that.
Allegedly.
Let's throw that out there. The Fabricio Werdum fight is off the table right now, and I kind of saw because I was rooting for Rodwell. According to him, it's because he's going through some treatment with his doctor for a sickness, and that is what he got. But he tested positive. Good on well. But how will we learn? I mean, Chris Cyborg did the same shit. If you're going to the doctor and they're gonna put something on you, the first thing a fighter should do is probably get USADA call. Hey, by the way, my doctor is about to put this on me, so I need to clear it out with you, or if anything, get my funds ready for a TUE, a temporary use exemption. Why are these fighters so freaking dumb? That's what 99% of the time I don't believe what they said. I don't buy their excuse. If you are going to the doctor for a legitimate reason, then you don't have nothing to worry about. All you got to do is call your son and tell them, hey, by the way, I'm getting treated for this and this is what I'm taking. according to the regulations. They will clean you because a doctor is prescribing it for you for legitimate reasons. And they don't do it, and they get pot, and they freaking have to make excuses, and we're thinking the worst case scenario with these guys. I'm sick and tired of the stupidity of these fighters, because that is just borderline negligent and stupid. Your professionals act stupid. Like that.
And take a deep breath.
Steroids.
How about that? That's okay. Right, Connor. Steroids.
Thank you, dummies.
Good Lord. All right, guys. Let's go into this. So, if I may, I want to, because you guys brought this up. So let's talk about what's next for Khabib. That's what I'm curious, because this is a guy, and I'll be honest with you, we don't know all the facts. We don't know exactly what happened. We literally don't know. This is my, hold on, let me turn on the conspiracy theory, who's the one that does the conspiracy theory? Is it Proteus? Indeed. This is what I think, guys. I think Khabib was injured. I actually think he was injured, and the way to get out was doing, yeah, because he's always injured. There's no doubt about it. So, and about Big Ben, guys, didn't he just have surgery? So it is possible that Big Ben actually had something that wasn't, that just didn't clear. So I'm going to give Big Ben a break, only because, of course, Junkie Nation favorite, I am a fan of his. So I'm going to give him a break. But Khabib, yeah, I think he was injured. But while we have 5 minutes on this, what do you guys think is next for Khabib, and what does this mean? Does Ferguson actually get Conor now?
I hope so. I mean, it would be fair, but again, are we going to have the Conor that doesn't defend the belt again? Jeez.
Go ahead.
Oh, no. I'm just saying, are we going to go through this again where now he's taking time off, and now how many interim belts are we going to give out for this weight division? Before he decides that he wants to defend the title, because now there's talk of him fighting Woodley in GSP. So come on. I don't know.
Conor is chasing a $100 million payday with Floyd Mayweather. That's why Conor is not fighting anybody in the USA. Mm-hmm. And if anybody was telling me I can make $100 million for fighting Floyd Mayweather, I will tell the USC to go suck it. But when it comes to Khabib, damn, I'm not so upset with that right now. First of all, lack of professionalism. If he was injured, he should have pulled out and not go to the whole motions, because the dude was guaranteed $500,000 just for showing up.
Yep.
And he didn't show up. He did not show up. Tony did. Now, this is my scenario, but it's going to cost a lot of money to pull it off, because they had to convince Nate Diaz to take the fight. Nate Diaz versus Tony Ferguson for an interim, and the winner, the winner is going to face Conor in a future time. Now, Nate Diaz as an interim champion will be great, because it set out the perfect third fight with Conor McGregor, and actually Conor will come back for that, because he'll guarantee Conor at least $25 million on the bank. Let's remember that Conor McGregor, for as much as we want to hate on the dude, he's a money fighter now, and what you're talking about, millions of dollars, and the kind of millions of dollars the guy is getting, you pick and choose your fights really carefully, because you have to safeguard that. And either one of us, if they were on his shoes, would be the same way.
I don't disagree, but I think Pam is the only one that can't stand Conor, right?
Alternative facts.
I can't stand him. Because there's a whole. It would take a whole show to explain my position on that, or how I feel, or why I feel about that. But Nate is king. There you go.
Yeah. On fairness, Pam, just on fairness, if you were in Conor McGregor's position and you got the chance, the possibility of making a $100 million payday, $100 million, you would also be holding out for that $100 million payday, wouldn't you?
I would.
Of course, but what if it doesn't happen? What if it never happens?
Yeah,
but if that's the point, then leave and go pursue that. But don't hold everybody up and you know, leave everybody here in limbo. Then, you know, leave and go pursue that. You know, you can't serve two masters.
I understand. At this day and age, we always wanted a figure in MMA like a Floyd Mayweather. We always wanted it, but we got it. Conor McGregor is not a belt champion. All the champions you mean for him is a trinket of leverage. He's a money weight champion. And I tell you, the three possibilities that are up there for McGregor to fight when he comes back, he either is going to fight Floyd Mayweather, or when he comes back, he's going to fight Nate Diaz, or finally, Georges St-Pierre. Those are the three money fights for him. Either one of them, Nate Diaz and Georges St-Pierre are making him anything from $20 to $30 million, and of course, Mayweather is making him $100 million. And those are the fights that he's going to do or take, and there's no other. Everybody else can dream and hope and whatever, but that is if the cards play right for Conor McGregor, that is what's going to happen for him. Because
have
that
I
is
been
where
wrong yet? Have I been wrong yet?
Exactly. Oh, and by the way, didn't Conor predict that freaking Khabib was not going to show up for the fight? The guy's a prophet.
Darn. What do you have to say about that, Pammy?
I don't know if he did or not. I don't listen to him. He just rubs me. I get like I want to go beat somebody's ass every time he starts talking. So I just
ooh,
I can feel that now.
That is all right.
Ouch! Son of a gun! All right, guys. So let's wrap it up. Gosh, you know what? I don't know why anyone honestly dislikes Connor. Maybe I'm the only one that gets a kick out of him. I get a kick out of him. All right, guys. Tomorrow night, of course, Proteus is prime time on Sunday. This Week in MMA, and I think I'm back on, I think. So hopefully we'll get the gang back together. Monday through Friday, we try to do the MMA Minute. I'm thinking of adding a show. I just really don't have a lot of time, though, guys. But we'll see what happens. Of course, from my boy, missing in action, MIA, but giving me the great photos of the lovely Anastasia Yankova, the one and only Prados. And, of course, the beautiful Pam. Pam, do you have a TV show or song of the week or Twitter follow of the week, Pammy?
You know what? My Twitter follow of the week is my Twitter follow of the week is Leo Danger Pettis, and he's an up-and-coming fighter from North Carolina. So follow him at Danger Pettis.
Sweet. And by Pettis, you mean Perez, right?
Perez. Sorry. Oh, yeah, for your crackers.
Do you have a song of the week or anything else?
I do not, and my show ended, my series ended, so now I have to watch find a new series to watch.
All right, we go to the one and only Marco. I know that you don't follow anyone, but we, of course, always want to hear your voice. Marco, what say you?
Okay, I'm going to give you my podcast of the week, the new Big Brown Breakdown with Brendan Schaub. His debut show on his own channel, he interviewed Stone Cold Steve Austin. And on his second show, one of fan favorites, Elias Theodore, the supermodel from Canada. Yes.
Hear the music for that.
The Big Brown Breakdown with Brendan Schaub, the number one sports podcast in iTunes. Don't figure. That dude is just racking the freaking money. Follow me at Marco. Follow on Pandora Box. Follow Tony at DJ Tony. Follow Produce at Produce. Follow us at I'm Radio and at Another MMA Cast. And with that, I'll leave you guys. Catch you guys next week.
Perfect. I like that. Marco.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
Bitch.